Our first scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 3. We will be reading the entirety of Psalm 3. In this scripture, the writer praises God for the deliverance which he experiences on a daily basis. Let's read. You can find this on page 487 in the Red Pew Bibles. And this is a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help for you in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Rise up, O Lord, deliver me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. And let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, be with us this day. May the words spoken and everything we do in this place be your words and your thoughts. May we have the courage to put that into practice every day of our lives. Amen. There was once a man who was out in the desert, and a sandstorm was beginning to kick up, so he decided to take shelter in a nearby cave. Now, while he was in the cave, he found what you're all thinking he found. He found a genie's lamp. And he rubbed the lamp, and the genie appeared, and the genie said, "Here's the rule of my lamp. You get one wish, so make it a good wish." So he thought long and hard, because he didn't want to blow his opportunity for his wish to come true. And finally he said to the genie, "My wish is not for my own happiness alone, but my wish is also for the happiness of my wife." He said, "You see, genie, recently we both turned 50. Now to me, 50 is a number, but to my wife, it's the beginning of the end. She sees it as her life being done. So I really want to do something wonderful for her. Jeannie, I wish that my wife was 30 years younger than me." And the genie snapped his fingers and does whatever genies do, and he turned the man into an 80-year-old. He was, to say the least, bent out of shape. And in today's scripture, we read of two people who were bent out of shape. The first was a woman who was physically, literally bent out of shape. She was infirmed and had not been able to stand up for 18 years. The second was the president or the leader of the synagogue, and he was spiritually bent out of shape, indignant to the fact that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. It is in these two stories from these two people that we learn something about ourselves and our relationship with the living Christ. First, let's look at the woman in the passage that Jesus healed. What do we know about her? She was in the synagogue at the same time of Jesus. She had a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. We are not told what that meant. Simply, we don't know what caused her to be crippled. In his book, The Message, Eugene Peterson translates this and says that she was crippled with debilitating arthritis. But whatever the affliction, she was bent over double and she could not stand up. And while in the synagogue, Jesus noticed her. He called her over to him. He laid his hands on her and she was instantly healed. She stood up straight and she began praising God. This woman was a person who went to church or to synagogue in her time, a person who had been chronically ill. She was a person who did not let her infirmity control her life, a person who was faithful to God, a person who did not allow her illness to stop her from living her life. And I know, and we all know people that have illnesses, that have conditions, and they see it as a wonderful part of who they are. And realizing this, they are able to worship God, to live for God, to move forward each day as spirit-filled people. But notice in the story, the woman does not seek out Jesus. She did not approach him. She didn't position herself in his path. She didn't ask for a moment of his time, and she didn't cause a scene in getting to see her. It was Jesus that noticed her. There was something about this lady that made Jesus call her over to him, and he set her free from her plight, and her response was to praise God. This is something that this lady teaches us. She lived her life in a way that Jesus noticed her. And I hope that's something that we all do every day, that we are living our lives in a manner that Jesus takes notice. There is all indication that this lady had great difficulty in everyday tasks and moving around. All she could see is the ground. She couldn't even stand up straight. But there is no indication that she used her illness as a crutch or as an advantage or a way of saying, "Why me? Why are you doing this to me, O God?" This is something else that this lady teaches us. Each day for her was an opportunity to serve and not an occasion to complain. This woman lived her life in a way that made Jesus take notice. I think it's only fair to say that each one of us lives our lives in a way that catches Jesus' attention. Now, the question becomes, is Jesus noticing us for the good things we do, or is Jesus noticing us because we have a long way to go? Now, the second person in our story today is the president or the leader of the synagogue. And this man was bent out of shape because Jesus did not follow the rules. Specifically, he broke the law that stated that you could not do work on the Sabbath. Jesus healed a person, and technically healing was working. So in this person's mind, Jesus was evil and wicked because he had broke the Sabbath law. And this man was so angry at Jesus, he didn't even speak to him in private. He addressed the crowd, probably to see if he could throw Jesus off of his game. But in turn, he defended his actions by reciting the very laws that he was accused of breaking. The rabbis hated cruelty to certain animals, and so it was perfectly legal on the Sabbath to untie animals, take them from their stalls, and lead them to the trough so they could get a drink. And Jesus' argument here is very simple. If you are allowed to untie a mere animal to feed and care for it, then it must be right for me to untie or loosen this woman from the things that bind her. The president of the synagogue could not understand what Jesus was saying. All he saw was a person who was breaking the law, a person who could not follow the rules, someone who didn't do things decently and in order. And we live in a society where there are many rules. There are traffic laws that we follow. There are more serious laws that if we break them, we may end up in prison. There are social laws that we adhere to. You don't go in front of someone standing in line. You don't talk in the library. You don't turn around and face people in an elevator. You just don't do that. There are rules for our families, rules at school, rules in the workplace, rules in any church, rules for playing games, rules on how we behave in public. There are even rules on how we behave at the dinner table. And as good Christians and as good citizens, we follow and are obligated to the rules in our lives. But we learn from this man that sometimes we must listen to the rules of our heart. As Christians, we don't advocate doing what we want whenever we want to. Quite the contrary, we are good citizens and we follow the rules. But there are times when the individual has to be more important than the system. The president of the synagogue was in the very presence of Christ, and his heart could not grasp the importance of human need. So we take these two stories and we try and figure out, how does that fit into our lives today? How do we take these two characters and learn from them on how we are living for Christ? And again, I want to take them one at a time, and I want to look at them. Now, if we put ourselves in the place of the lady in our story, we need to ask ourselves, what is it in our lives that are keeping us weak and bent over and not able to stand up properly for Christ? What is it in our lives that isn't allowing Jesus to come in and untie us and transform us so that we can praise God? What is it that we can always do better? So I want to make sure that we're all on the same page when I use the word transform or transformation. And so I'm going to do that with a story. There was an Amish family, and I realized on the way in today that an Amish family telling the story has a different impact here today than it does for me in Florida. So I'm going to go with it and see what happens. But there was an Amish family that wanted to know what real life was like. I don't know if they wanted to know what was missing, but they wanted to know how other people live differently from them. And so they decided the best way to do this was to go into the big city and go to a department store. So they go to the department store, and as soon as they get through the front doors, the wife and the daughter make a beeline for the clothes section of the store. And the man and his son find themselves in front of this great big silver box in the middle of the store. Now, we know that the great big silver box is an elevator. But he had never seen an elevator. He had no idea what it was. He had no idea what it did. And he's mesmerized with this big metal box in the middle of the store. And as he's staring at this box, this wee old lady comes up and she hobbles into the elevator. She pushes the button. The big doors open. She goes inside. The big doors close. And she disappears. And this man can't take it. He's just so enthralled by what he's seeing. And a couple minutes later, the big box opens back up. And this gorgeous 22-year-old model comes walking out of the big silver box. And the man cannot take his eyes off it. And he grabs his son and he pulls him over, still looking at the box, and he says, "Go get your mother. There's something she has to try. She has to do this." That's transformation. And that's what we learn from the lady in the story. We have to allow Christ to so transform us that we are different, better, straight up people for God. The other person we learn from today is the leader of the synagogue. And what we learn, we put ourselves in that person's position. And what we learn is, we say to ourselves, what is it in our lives that's making us follow the rules more than the compassion of our hearts? When is it that we have to know to act on compassion over and to another human being? And so I can do this again with another story. Now, I warn you, this is a too hanky story. So just be ready for that. It's a good story, but it's a heavy story. And it's a story of a man who was coming home from the war. And just so we're all on the same page, we're going to say that he was coming home from the Vietnam War. And he was traveling home, and he stopped at the side of the road, and he used a payphone. I think most of us remember what those were. That's why I picked the Vietnam War, because they were payphones. And so he stops at the side of the road. He calls his parents on the phone and tells his parents he's been released from the war and he's coming home and he should be there in a couple of days. But he said, I'm calling you because I have a friend with me and I want him to come and stay with me. We've been together since day one in the war and he's been injured and he's lost both of his legs. And so he needs me and I want to bring him home. His parent says, bring him home. He can stay for a couple of days. He can figure things out, and it'll be great to have him with you. And the son said to his parents, unfortunately, that's not what I'm talking about. I want him to stay with us permanently. This whole man's world has been turned upside down. He's going to have to relearn how to do everything, and he's going to need to depend on us a lot more than anyone else. So I need him to stay with us permanently, forever, as it were. And his parent says, you can bring him home for a couple of days, but I don't really think it's a good idea for him to stay with us. We don't know this man. We're not equipped to help him with the kind of help that he's going to need. He's going to need special doctors and people to talk to, and he probably needs to be in a facility that can care for him. So he's welcome for a couple of days, but we just don't really have the time or inclination to help him any further than that, and you're just going to have to be okay with that. So the son said, fine, and he said, I'll see you soon, and he hung up the phone. And the next day, the parents got a call from the police. The police had found a young man who had apparently committed suicide at the side of the road, and he had their information on his person when they found him. And the police said, I'm sorry, we're assuming that this may be your son or a close relative. Let me tell you what happened. We found this man on the side of the road next to a payphone, in army fatigues, and both of his legs were missing. And that's a really, really sad story, and a really bad story of compassion. And the sad thing about the story is that it didn't have to end that way, and it didn't have to be that way. All the parents had to say is, you're our son, we love you, bring your friend home, come home, and we will take care of it. And that's what we're talking about in this story today. Jesus didn't wait one more day to heal this woman. Jesus never put rules and laws and systems above human need and compassion. People always, always, always come first. And that's what we learn. What is it that's holding us back? Where is it that we need to show the compassion of Christ? Because when we can show that compassion of Christ, then we are not going to be held back, and we are not going to be weak, and we are going to be transformed by Christ each and every day to live for Him. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much for everything you do and for that living presence that you put inside of us each and every day. Give us the courage and the strength to walk every day in your light. Amen.